All right, we'll call to order the March 3rd meeting for the Town of Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. Again, we have to recognize, I believe, that Tony is on the phone and present, and that Mr. Ken Richardson is absent and authorized for absence tonight. So do we need a motion for that or just a recognition?
Why don't you do a motion to excuse Ken?
Okay, to excuse Ken. So this is a motion to excuse Ken from the P&Z meeting tonight.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Nope.
Aye.
Next item is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion? Is there anything we need to add to the agenda? I think we've covered, we've got land use planning survey to continue that discussion.
Okay. I think we'll remove the underground. Unless Tony has something to say about that.
Tony, are you going to have anything to say about underground utilities?
No, so Ken was setting up the meeting with the Duke Power, and I think it has to confirm the agenda.
Okay. We can leave it on the agenda and just table it when we get to it, if that's okay. So is there a motion to adopt the agenda? Kathleen, your turn.
I move to adopt the agenda.
I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is adoption of the minutes. Let's just take a minute or two to look at the minutes. It's a little bit longer than our last one. Motion to approve the adoption of the February minutes.
Make a motion to adopt the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Public comments. Is there anybody on the phone other than Tony? Mandy, is there anybody on the phone other than Tony?
Andy Paul
Page
is here.
What? Yeah, this is an exciting meeting, I tell you.
Can you just alternate Mr. Fagan?
Mr. Fagan has called in.
Okay.
For the interview.
All right, so we'll get to that under new business. Okay, so hearing nobody interested in public comments, we will close agenda item number 4. Old business, based upon our conversation with Tony, that we will table that item, if that's okay. Motion table.
Make a motion to table.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 I guess I should have addressed this. I personally think maybe we should move the interviews prior to our discussion, continued discussion. Is that okay?
Okay.
To do that? Okay, so we'll go ahead and start our interviews now. We have three applicants for an alternate member. This is for alternate member, right? And I'm trying to think about what the discussion was at the town council meeting, because we don't have technically an alternate member for the Historic Preservation Commission.
The council matters are related to DOA and HPC only.
Right. So what I'm suggesting, it sounded to me, and Joseph, maybe you can, because you were going to talk more about that, I think, with the town council. Are these interviews, I know technically it's for P&Z, but do you think they're also interviews for the HPC?
At this point, I would say no, because we're still waiting for the guidance on how we're going, what's going to be the makeup of HPC, and then how many alternate members we will have. So I think it's going to be five members of HPC and then two alternates.
Right. We're presenting to council in March recommendations for HPC alternate member of policy. So my recommendation is to limit this to PGC only.
Okay, all right, that's fine. All right, so anyway, I'm sure as all the three applicants understand, and let me kind of explain what we do as an alternate member. There's five members of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Several years ago, the town council established a policy that we also have an alternate member. And the idea of the alternate member is that you attend the P&Z meetings. You listen, you're not voting at this particular time, but what happens if somebody resigns or, you know, can't fulfill their duties on the P&Z, which happens, we have turnover at least, I'd say, once a year on this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, people moving out, you know, something comes up, they get ill, you know, that sort of thing. So I'd say within the last year, we've had two or three turnovers. So the idea of the alternate member is that you're down the experience curve in terms of what we're talking about and all that sort of thing, so you can come in immediately and then sit as a full member of the Planning and Zoning Commission rather than going back to town council and doing interviews and having approval processes and all that sort of thing. So that's what we're looking at right now. You know, unless there's a change by the town council, we have one alternate member to the Planning and Zoning Commission. You probably heard a little bit about the Historic Preservation Commission, but we're not interviewing for that, but there may be a different set of alternate requirements for that particular, and whether the P&Z alternate is a member as an alternate of the HPC, we'll see about that in the future, but for right now, we're just going to talk about Planning and Zoning as an alternate. So, with that, you know, the town council has established a process where we do the interviews. We don't make a decision. We make a recommendation to the town council, but the town council, as the elected body, always has final authority in all these type of things. So then the P&Z will make a recommendation to town council as to who the alternate member is, and then they can vote on that or change it or whatever they want to do. They certainly have that right to do that. So, with that in mind, what we usually do is these are required to be public hearings. Several years ago, we used to do them in private. We were thoroughly chastised that was not the proper way to do it. And so they are public because, by definition, they have to be public. So there's no, I mean, everything's public. So the interviews are public. And ultimately, our decisions and our discussion at the very end is public. That doesn't mean you have to stick around to hear what we're saying about people. But it does have to be a public hearing in terms of both our recommendation as well as our interviews. So with that little prelude, does anybody else want to add anything to that?
It's a lonely job.
I have to admit, some days or some months we're here for several hours talking about extremely complicated and very important issues for things that truly are impactful as to how Curie Beach looks. And other months, I mean, literally, we have nothing to do, and the meeting might be 15 minutes. So it really depends. Like, this is a rather slim agenda that we have, and we immediately got to our interviews within, 10 minutes? So with that, I guess we should start our interviews.
Also, the next 12 months is going to be very critical. We have the land use plan coming up in the town, so these meetings may be longer than perhaps.
Right. We also are going to have something, the North Carolina Assembly changed the language and a lot of the statutes related to planning. And this, I believe, is called 160D, isn't it? Yeah, the 160D. So we are obligated, as every town and city within the state of North Carolina, to have new, to update whatever our ordinances are to the 160D requirements. And so our attorney, Mr. Eldridge, is, you know, staying awake till 2 o'clock every single morning working on this.
Not yet, but that's going to be the case.
Right. And ultimately probably will come in with a lot of recommendations that we will ultimately have to approve because it has to go to P&Z before it ultimately goes to the town council. And some of that will probably be rather lengthy in terms of discussions and rather detailed. So, yeah, I'm sure we will have over the next year some pretty lengthy type of meetings.
Over the next few months, if more like it.
Right. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have to just sit out there and take it in. You've got the same rights as any other citizen at this meeting, and that is if you've got a question, you go ahead and you ask it and get an answer. So it's not like you're stuck in a corner and can't do anything until one of us quits.
That's right. And when we go back to normal, the five of us will sit there and you'll probably be sitting down there, you know, rather than over in the thing. And as we've learned, and you're absolutely right, because Kathleen was sitting down there, you know, probably throwing out more questions than we were sometimes. So you certainly have right to, you just can't vote, you know, or make recommendations or that sort of thing. But certainly you're part of the Planning and Zoning Commission at that particular time. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and take them in order, if that's okay. Mr. Ashbridge. Excellent. Okay. What we usually do is... What we usually do is ask, just take about 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just open it up to questions if that's okay.
All right. Again, Byron Ashbridge. My wife and I, Jeannie, bought a home in Curia Estates in 2012, initially as a weekend place, and have over the years transitioned more and more, and now Curia Beach is our full-time home. In addition to the home that we have in Curia Estates, we actually just bought Joe Hearn's oceanfront property and are intending that to kind of be our forever home after we do some extensive revisions. But I had the pleasure of working with you guys about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where we had made the mistake of creating a oversized sign for our parking area at Curia Estates.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were gracious enough to help us in being able to get that ordinance changed and accommodate what we needed. So that said, having that interaction, not only with the sign issue, but having attended a few meetings, getting a chance to understand more about what you all do, I thought that it was interesting work and certainly something that I think that I could provide benefit to over time. From a background standpoint, I spent 20 years with Bank of America, moved all over the place with the bank, settled in Charlotte. We have four children, had triplets the second time around, so we kind of went to a big family real fast, and they're on their own and so forth. But in 2003, entered a company called Sona Mitzvah, which was a dermatology and cosmetic organization, as a franchisee. Over time, about 4 or 5 years, ended up becoming the largest franchisee and had the opportunity of acquiring the company in 2008. And sold the company to a private equity firm about 4.5 years ago now. And so stayed on as president CEO for the first 2.5 years of that. And then again, spent a lot more time down here and began transitioning off. So as far as from a time standpoint, I am looking for professional business opportunities and volunteer opportunities to be able to fill my time now. And want to be a much more significant contributor to our great town.
Okay, great. We usually do is to open it up to questions. Let me go up. Tony, do you have any questions? We'll go ahead and start with you this time.
Yes. You said you had 20 years at Bank of America, correct?
Yes.
And your role there in Bank of America was?
Started out in a trading program, ended up running a couple branches. Went into regional management, eventually transitioned more into operational roles. My last two roles before leaving the bank, I was part of the Nations Bank side of the bank, and then the big merger that happened with Nations Bank and Bank of America. Prior to that merger, I was the credit card executive, so I was running the credit card company for Bank of America, for Nations Bank, which at the time was the sixth largest in the country. And then with the merger, I ended up transitioning to an operational role where I ran all of the call centers across the nation. And we went from 33 call centers consolidated down to 18. Oversaw about 10,000 people transitioning into that role. And then eventually we wound that down to about 8,000. And then through eventual acquisition, ended up back up to about 15,000 people. I moved 8 times with the bank, and Charlotte was kind of the last time that I was going to put my family through that. My oldest Matt was approaching high school age, and I had been the commitment that I had made to my kids that by the time they were approaching that stage in life, we would have roots. And so, again, kind of settled in Charlotte and transitioned out of the bank when I was being asked to move again, and that's how I ended up getting into the Sona opportunity.
Okay. And you kind of gravitated to Curia Beach, and what was your interest? What brought you here?
Yeah, interesting story. 2011, planning a Cape Hatteras Labor Day week vacation with good friends of ours from Pennsylvania. Hurricane comes through, cuts off access. So Jeannie and I, being business owners, very difficult to take time off. So that week that we had managed it, to be able to get scheduled was very precious. So we were bound and determined we were still going to go to the beach, and got on the internet and was looking for a place on the beach that could take a dog, and ended up renting the little salt box that's right beside the two parking lots, the Curie States and Curie Village parking lots. We ended up renting that little house, and had never heard of Curie Beach, had heard of Carolina Beach, definitely had been in Wilmington a few times. Heard of Carolina Beach, not sure exactly where it was at the time, and Curie Beach was all brand new. So we committed to a 3-day rental. Ended up having such a good time, meeting great people like Kathleen and others, and having the opportunity of coming back a few other times. We settled on the fact that we wanted to buy, and had looked at the property, wasn't available from a negotiating standpoint to what we were capable of doing at the time. Revisited the spring, the buyer was much more anxious to sell, and that's kind of how it all happened. And again, we feel like this is certainly home. The relationships that we've made and so forth, and why we actually purchased Joe Hearn's house. We've been looking for oceanfront for quite some time, but our neighborhood, our community that we had, and the friends that we have there were kind of the priority as far as what we would ever consider. So when that house became available, it's so close to our neighborhood. It's basically the same people on the beach that we're used to being with all the time. So again, we're locked in.
Okay. Jim.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Jim, do you want to?
Yes. One thing you need to realize, if you don't already know, that we're not a decision-making board. We do the groundwork for what council sets in front of us or projects that we take on ourselves, and council may not see it the way that we see it. And there may be literally years of work that are done that we have to change direction and go and do something else. So it could be at times a frustrating job, but we all work for the people that are elected by all of us, and just want to make sure that everybody that does do it, because everybody here that's applying for it has been in upper management. And in upper management, you say things and you get things done.
Right.
It doesn't always happen all the time here. How do you feel about the possibility that you may get shot down on what you think is a fantastic idea?
No, understood. I mean, I know there's kind of a box that we live in, but having listened to you guys in some of the meetings that I've attended and the influence that you have, I mean, I've been impressed by that. And but I certainly understand that you all are not the decision makers and can certainly feel comfortable in that kind of role. And again, my purpose in putting my name in the hat is really just the fact that I want to get more involved. I want to be ingrained in the community and have influence, but certainly understand where that role is.
Just to kind of jump on that, I have to admit, I've been a planning commissioner probably for 40 years, originally out in California, in the city of Mission Viejo. I'm not sure if you know where Mission Viejo is, in Orange County, California. We were the fastest growing city at that particular time. I mean, literally every single month we would have developers come in with multi-million-dollar projects. I mean, just we'd have 100 people. Literally in there, we'd have to have police presence and everything like that. We'd have environmentalists protesting outside. It was really something. Then transitioned to Indiana, West Lafayette, Indiana, where I was a planning commissioner for a while there, and then here. And one of the things that, kind of building on what Jim was talking about, is even though that P&Z is not technically a decision-making body, it is a very important one. It's required by state ordinance or state requirements, but I have to say that the Curie Beach Town Council in general has been very supportive of the planning and zoning. They certainly have questions, ask us to tweak things and stuff like that, but I can only think of maybe a couple situations out of the 10 years that I've been on the planning and zoning here a couple situations where they just really didn't like what we'd done, but in 98 other type of situations that they certainly support us, and you know, with recommendations and their own opinions, certainly as they have the right. So it is a different, because I can tell you how frustrating it is to, as Jim said, you know, to spend a lot of time and just have it blown off by the town council. And you don't get that sense here. You do have a sense that the town council really does support what planning and zoning does and respects, you know, our effort and our decisions and, you know, everything like that. So it is a positive experience in general, but it can be frustrating at times, certainly. So,
Craig, are you about to ask for something?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, okay. Actually, I was going to ask some of the questions that we were just talking about that you heard is, what do you think are the major planning issues for Curie Beach?
You know, admittedly, I've got a lot to learn. So certainly I haven't gone back and really researched things and gotten my understanding up anywhere close to your level. But, I mean, I do know that obviously the parking issue has been, you know, a big issue from the standpoint of people getting on both sides of kind of what that is and how much they feel supportive of it. And I know that that would be the case for much of the work that, that you guys do. You can't necessarily please everybody, but at the same time, you know, I kind of view my management style and just interaction with people as being very Socratic. I mean, I like the opportunity of being able to hear divergent opinions or diverse opinions. I know in today's society, there's a lot of folks that are really kind of tunnel visioned over really just wanting to hear what they want to hear and not necessarily tolerant of others. That's not me. I enjoy hearing the diversity and learning from people and potentially having people challenge my perspective and being able to learn from that. But getting back to your question, I know from a standpoint of growth, there's, from a land standpoint, there's obviously just a limit to how much more can be done. And I know that from the standpoint of the type of town that we are and those that may have recommendations around doing things differently, the ability to be able to just digest all of that and to be able to try to come up with ways of being able to make the town as attractive as possible to people. Again, hearing your survey and so forth, I know, again, that's in that spirit. I like the one-stop like town. I like the fact that we are, and having learned over the last 9 years, what we are about, and that to me is, I wouldn't say sacred, but very, very important. And I know that most of the people that I interact with feel that way. So, I guess from a growth standpoint, coming to summary, it's really just around, do we want to do things radically different than they are today, or are we trying to stay the path?
Well, let me ask you a slightly different question. What do you think Curie Beach can do better from your experience of having been here? I'm sure you've traveled a lot of other different tourist type of areas, mm-hmm. too. What do you think we could do better from your perspective of having been here as long as you've been? From a planning point of view.
Yeah, and again, great question. I mean, I think, coming back to the parking thing, I know that there is that level of frustration from, the notion that parking, particularly in the prime area of downtown, has not been accessible to residents as much as they would like. Again, striking the balance around the fact is that tourism dollars are obviously very important. Rental taxation is very important. But do we want to continue to encourage as much rental activity as would allow then for that those revenue streams to increase? I know, for example, in my situation, we have a property that had been for years owner-occupied, and now our next-door neighbor rents the house out, the new owners. And I understand perfectly clear why. I mean, they could not afford to buy the house if they didn't rent it out during some of the prime weeks and then utilize it themselves in both spring and fall. That all said, though, to me, that's the biggest issue, from our neighborhood standpoint, given that we allow it and the transitioning that's underway. And I would imagine that's the case for other neighborhoods as well that allow for short-term rentals.
Okay. Kathleen?
Okay. I just have one question. And so when I was reviewing your application, and you said to the question, what is your understanding of the purpose of this committee? And you said, through citizen and business engagement, to provide recommendations to town council regarding effective development policies in line with the town's comprehensive plan. So through citizen and business engagement, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to maybe expand upon that. Like, what kind of engagement are you referring to?
Again, just trying to encourage feedback and, you know, be a messenger and not, again, be close-minded. And I think that's one of my strengths, is to be able to have conversation with people. I may have a preconceived notion around where I think things should be, but I, you know, again, I can very much enjoy dialogue and debate over things, and, you know, will be the first to admit that, you know, my opinions can change, you know, based on that level of influence. So, you know, I just like to be a good representative and having people feel comfortable in being able to provide feedback and think that that feedback is going to provide some level of influence. And the same thing from a business community standpoint. I like working with some of the small businesses in town, particularly with the struggles with COVID and some of them, you know, not being able to adapt their business models, and getting a chance to know some of the owners of those businesses and working informally with them to be able to help them through it. You know, again, that's the kind of work that I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Joseph Barlock. Okay. And so I'll try to keep my lecturing down. I'm a professor. I'm having lecture withdrawals because I haven't been able to lecture now for almost a year. So, yeah.
Plus you're medicated.
Yeah, that's true. I just had my vaccine about 2 hours ago, so I'm flying high on some painkillers now. So. Anyway, same thing. Just go ahead and introduce yourself. So that's great.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Joe Barlock. My wife, Debbie, and I moved down here to Curie Beach only a year ago as permanent residents. We did purchase a house 6 years ago, which we lived in as pretty much as visitors when we could come down here because we still had our full-time jobs up north. We're from New York. A year ago, we sold the townhouse that we had originally bought, 4th Street, 4th Avenue. And we moved to the corner of 4th and H. So we moved from a townhouse to a private home. And that is now our permanent residence for the last year. I'm a mechanical engineer. I went to the University of Mississippi. My entire career has been in the utility industry. I started out with TVA, moved up to New York, worked with Con Ed, became part of Entergy up there, and now I work with PSE&G in New Jersey. So I'm completely retired. And through that career, I manage people, I manage projects. My last 15 years were in project management of some of the largest substations in the utility. So I have worked with Board of Assessment, Planning and Zoning, and also city councils in New York and New Jersey. I have not yet worked with this council, but for this committee. So I am aware of what you do. I do understand that this is completely an advisory committee. You'll review things, you'll propose things, it goes to town council, and as you say, it could be shot down. But we're used to that, because I said I am married. So, yeah. But I'm familiar with town councils, I'm familiar with planning and zoning and adjustments.
Okay. We'll start with Kathleen this time. Kind of move in this direction. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So you are familiar with planning and zoning. I wonder, have you had an opportunity to go through our Code of Ordinances, and in particular, Chapter 15, which is our zoning?
I have thumbed through them. I definitely do not know them. I know that there was a revision or an amendment put into Chapter 15 just recently, so I have been looking at it.
So, but not well enough that you would have any opinion about anything in there that you don't like?
Okay. I'll ask the same questions. Start off with what do you see as the major planning and zoning issues from your perspective for Curie Beach, having lived here now for at least visiting for at least 6 or 7 years, it sounds like, yeah.
Well, I think it's a balance. I think it's a balance between residents that are living here and then the visitors that come in, the renters. rentals bring in a lot of income for the residents and for the town. So you want to focus on renters that are coming in, but you also don't want to kick your residents at the same time. So I see that as one of the biggest problems going forward, always has been, I'm sure, with a town like this. I mean, we fell in love with it when we first came down here. It's beautiful. We rented for like 15 years before we actually owned. And we said, this is the place we're going to retire. And when we got the opportunity, we jumped on it. So as far as issues, I mean, the big attraction here, of course, is the beach, the ocean. So I think we do need to care for that. We need to focus on erosion. We need to focus on soil water conservation and stormwater. I know there is a stormwater plan for the Eastern Carolinas that's in the works right now. So I know there's work going into that. I think that's a big focus point.
Okay. Slightly different second question. You know, since you have been visiting, it sounds like you visited a lot of other places up and down the coast that are familiar. What is it about Curie Beach that really attracted you here? I mean, there's a lot of places that have oceans.
Okay.
So what is it about Curie Beach that says, boy, I really want to live here?
Curie Beach to us has always been a family atmosphere. It's not a part of town, and that's important for us. Whenever we rented and came down, we always had a big group. So it would be, you know, 4 or 5 bedroom rental with a big family, and that's what we were focused on. So that's what we loved about Curie Beach. Now, I know there's places like that everywhere, but this is, to me, it's a quiet community, and I just say family-oriented.
Okay, very good. Jim?
He answered pretty much.
Okay. Tony, your turn.
I can't resist asking the question. You've worked in the utility business and familiar with utility operations. What can we do at Curie Beach to improve that mechanism here for infrastructure?
Infrastructure is tough. When you're above ground, you worry about the storms. When you're below ground, you worry about the corrosion. I think a redundancy is the best way to go for infrastructure. I'm not sure exactly how Duke's system is set up in the area. I have looked at the poles. Stuff looks kind of old up there, but I think in order to improve the reliability, you have to improve your redundancy, especially when you have overhead lines and you have hurricanes.
Can I ask, what do you think about redundancy? Tony.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let Tony, because I know there's a little bit of a delay. So, Tony, why don't you finish your questions, and then we'll back it open to Jim and Kathleen.
Yeah, and I agree with you, you know, having redundancy and, you know, having the clean water and all the good things, you know, about Curie Beach. So my other question is, would be, you know, what being a part of P&Z, what would be some things you would like to see this committee or this organization, this group tackle?
Well, Tony, right now, until I actually get into the ordinance and see what's there, what we could improve on, I don't have any complaints. So as far as things to improve on for this committee, I can't give you anything. But as far as tackling, it would go with the same things I've already said. Very important to me is the beach, conservation of the beaches, and also the stormwater. So that would be focus areas I would be looking at.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I actually cut off Jim, so I'm going to let him ask his question and go to Kathleen.
The thing that occurred to me is that basically, with your background and everything, what would concern you the most about the area, and specifically Curie Beach?
Well, with my background, I assume you mean with the utility. My concern is falling lines. It's always falling lines. Here with mainly old palm trees, I guess there's not many palm trees falling on lines, but the actual lines themselves from the wind, that should fail. That would be a big concern of mine.
There is discussion at this point about having those lines put underground. Two of our PNZ members are in conversation with Duke about that as we speak, in progress. So, I just for my education, what do you mean by redundancy with the utilities?
Well, if there's one circuit, there's ways to make loops. There's ways to make two circuits so that if a certain section trips out, it can automatically be fed back. Now, I'm sure Duke has some of that. I'm not sure exactly what they have yet. I haven't had time. It's been a year.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, last person who I believe is on the line, right? Okay. Is Mr. Paul Fagan. There is a little bit of a delay. There's about a two-second delay, so I'll try not to kind of jump on your conversation, but we're going to start the same way. Go ahead and introduce yourself and just take about 5 minutes and give us a little bit of a background as to why also you want to be on the P&Z, but a little bit also about your educational and professional background.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. My name, again, is Paul Fagan. I have lived in Curie Beach since 2006. I happen to be a neighbor of Byron Ashbridge's, a great guy, by the way, I might add. We owned our home in Curie Beach since 2006, but I retired here with my wife, Deb, in 2017 after the four kids are out of the house and we've got some room to breathe. And so we moved here permanently from Raleigh. I spent 33 years managing leading teams with the IBM Corporation, specifically out of RTP, Research Triangle Park in the Raleigh area. My education was from the University of Georgia. I'm an accounting major who kind of sold out after 10 years in IBM, became a salesman. So I kind of found my passion with people and leading teams toward a given objective. So we sold B2B implementation, so enabling large Fortune 500 companies to be able to transact electronically with IBM over the web when the web became a thing in 1999-ish. And that took me overseas for a bit and up to Lexington, Kentucky and all over the country. So I had a wonderful career, 33 years, retired in 2017, moved permanently to Curie Beach. Was approached by some gentlemen that have worked with P&Z in the past, some folks that I have great respect for. They said you should look into this opportunity because they knew I was looking for a chance to make more of a difference in the community now that I have some more time. I do some volunteer work at UNCW mentoring students with their careers and some other volunteer activity. And I play golf and tennis and ride bikes, but I have time and I have great passion and some skills in leadership, skills in team building, skills in collaborating, working toward goals. So I'd like to put some of that to work in a community that I love, and that's why I'm on this call.
All right, we'll start with Jim.
I would just ask the same question that I asked the other gentleman. Do you feel reasonably comfortable being able to accept rejection from council and go back and change or at least modify some of the work that you may feel strongly about?
I do. I feel all too prepared for that. As a salesman, being told no is sort of just another day. So we become very good at growing thick skin, working around the objection, moving toward a plan. So short answer, yes, I'm very prepared for that and have a lot of experience with it.
Okay, and you've been here quite some time, either temporarily. What do you see as the biggest factor as far as outside influences and changing the community?
Yeah, great question. I mean, what drew us to Curie Beach was we came in search of a second home by the water, and what we found was a community, and that shocked us because what we thought we would gain in a home, what we really gained was relationships, really valuable relationships with people that are dear to us. So the community means a great deal to my wife and me, and to our kids, and extended family, and our friends. So I think it's very important that we commit ourselves to preserving what makes Curie Beach so special, which I think is, as the other gentleman pointed out, it's a family community. It's Mayberry by the beach, so there's some very kind of sacred pillars that hold us beautiful community together. I think we need to continue to hold them sacred, but also grow wisely, prudently. So that's what I'd like to do, is work on this commission to make sure we do just that.
Thank you.
Okay, again, this is Craig, and I appreciate being elevated to mayor, but I am not the mayor. We do have the first same first name, but so I do appreciate. I'm the chairperson of the P&Z, just a kind of a little bit of a background. But anyway, my question is very similar. Is having now lived in Curie Beach and probably visited a lot of other beach communities, what do you see as, first of all, the major issues that we need to address in the future, and also what do you really think that we've done well in Curie Beach?
Yeah, I mean, I have to just reiterate that we've kept true to our soul as a community. I think it's amazing to see how Curie Beach has stuck to being very family and not sold out to the commercial aspect. And I know that taxes and things have to keep you going, and that's very important. As an accounting major and business person myself, the dollars and cents are critical. On the other hand, again, we've not sold out, and we're very family-based, and I think the other thing that Curie Beach does extraordinarily well is listen. I think the leaders of our community, you guys, the town council also, have listened carefully to what the citizens want, and have tried really hard to deliver it. And that's a big challenge. I'd like to join in that. And I think also very important to stay true to the land use plan. There's, I'm sure, a lot that was put into it, not that it can't be updated and refined, but we need to stay true to it until we see another vision and sort of updated appropriately.
Yeah, last question I had. I noticed that you're involved with the Cameron Executive Network and have done a lot of other volunteer sort of things. And again, I think it was pointed out that this is a volunteer type of activity. Tell me how you feel about, you know, working in a volunteer type of activity such as this.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was working through my career, I traveled a great deal. Again, 33 years with IBM, I was on the road a lot. And I grew up in East Point, Georgia. My father was a town council member for 8 years. And I just watched as a young guy how much joy he got out of that volunteer responsibility, because he took so much pride in the town that he grew up in and the town I grew up in. So I kind of always carried that with me, always thought that we should all act on some civic responsibility if we're able. I was never really able to during my career, and now I am. So that's how I feel about it. I have time. I have some God-given ability, also some experiences that I think would benefit this commission, and I'd like to put them to work.
Okay. Kathleen?
Yes, on your, hello, Paul, this is Kathleen. On your application, I see that you were the HOA board member with Curie Estate for a year in 2015. And so I just wanted to ask you, during that tenure, did you have any zoning issues that you had to have experience with while you were on that board? And then I was curious, why were you on it only for 1 year?
Yeah, good question. I was asked to be on it as an interim member. So it was just a short kind of a gap fill until they could elect another member. I was also at the same time the president of the Homeowners Association in my community in Raleigh. So I didn't really have time to give between career and two HOAs. So I was involved, but really in the HOA capacity at Curie Beach, minimally. No, we didn't have any zoning issues at the time.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. So anyway, that completes our interviews. What we're going to do now is have a discussion. You're not obligated to stay. I know it's kind of awkward when people talk about stuff, but again, we have to do this as a public hearing. So it's we used to do it in private, but you know, I mean, certainly up to you if you want to stay for the conversation or whatever.
Thank you all.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Nobody asked about the height limit?
Oh, that's not even a choice.
That's
all right.
Next question.
All right. This is has to be one of the most difficult decisions I've seen. My God, all three are, you know, superb. I mean, education, experience, interest, background. And so, you know, let's open it up. I have one thing that I'm going to key on, which I think distinguishes one from the other two. And so, you know, I'm going to recommend that person, but and the only thing is the degree of volunteer aspects that we heard from the last candidate, and that to me, I mean, they're all superb backgrounds, education, everything like that. So that is my probably pushing me into that direction with Paul, is that he volunteers a lot. He's been involved in HOAs. He's involved with the Cameron Executive Network, which is a non-trivial type of thing. I have to mention, it's a very important part of the Cameron Business School. Where people come in and they really help our students get jobs and put together their resumes and find careers and that sort of thing. So that's a major effort. So I think he's certainly shown a lot of important effort in terms of volunteer type of activity. Other than that, I just can't, you know, that's the only thing that would lead me in one direction versus the other, since we have to make a decision.
And I'm leaning toward Joseph Barlock, because his experience on the other side of the table with planning and zoning commissions and his experience with the utilities and his focus on stormwater projects and the conservation of the beach. I just think he might be a strong addition to planning and zoning for that.
Jim?
Any of the three.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Any one of the three.
I also would, if it's not that there's a negative to look at it, it's what I'm looking at, and basically I'm looking at Mr. Barlock also basically because of the type of work that he's done seems to would involve other businesses and other entities that provide services to the general population. The thing that struck me about Mr. Fagan was what all of them had said to a certain extent, which is the type of place that why it brought the rest of us here. They all three of them seemed to realize that this is something a little bit different, and it's worth working and fighting for to keep different. But basically, I thought that Mr. Barlock brought a little bit more. And what you're saying is true. Mr. Fagan brought a lot of volunteer stuff to it, and a number of them, there is one down thing, and it's not anything to do with any of the three of them. They're all HOA members. I wish we could get a non-HOA, somebody north of,
you know,
south of K.
Well, we'll finish in discussion, but I think you raise an important issue that we'll come back to.
No, actually, John Barlock, he's down at 4th and H. There's no HOA down there.
That's right. Yeah.
He is south of K.
Said, yeah. Okay.
Tony, what's your opinion?
It's a very hard decision, to be honest with you, but I am probably going to lean heavily with Kathleen and Jim on this one with Judge Barlock. I just feel like he brings a lot of knowledge and expertise to the things that we're working on now and could be crucial to some of the things that providing some additional guidance and, you know, reference points and someone with a lot of experience to help us along the way.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm certainly happy with any of them. I think they're all excellent. And I understand also that, you know, in terms of background, Mr. Barlock also brings an engineering background to the table, too. So it sounds to me that there's three out of the four. So, Kathleen, since you started it, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I'll move that we offer the alternate position to John Barlock.
I
recommend to council that they offer to John Barlock the position of alternate.
Joseph Barlock. Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. So that's 4-0. Okay. On that. Okay.
And I would also encourage the other two to not walk away.
Right. Now, this is a public hearing, and I'm really impressed with the three candidates, and certainly by our recommendation in any way suggest that any of them had what I would consider to be kind of downsides. I mean, they're all excellent candidates, I think. So, but anyway, we can only pick one, so we, you know, ultimately have to do that. So our recommendation to town council, which I'll present during the town council meeting, is for Mr. Joseph Barlock. Okay. All right, that brings us back to the land use plan survey. Mr. Dugan, I think, had a very good idea, and I think this is actually something that Mr. Eldridge also suggested to in the land use plan committee, and that's our job really isn't to write the questions. Our job is to identify issues, and they're getting paid big bucks. They should have an expert on their staff, or at least if they don't, they should go out and hire one as a consultant. To deal with, to write better questions. So I think that you're absolutely on target rather than us writing questions, that we just simply talk about this, give suggestions, and then certainly provide land use plan, because ultimately our recommendations are to the land use plan committee, not directly to them. So, and maybe have land use plan. How quickly are these minutes put together so we can make sure that they do get our recommendations?
I mean, I'm going to recommend this information that you're giving me. I'm taking notes.
Okay.
So it would be really helpful if you guys have specific things, if you could email them to me like he suggested in the meeting.
Okay.
I mean, I'm taking notes, but you guys are kind of, you know, like moving.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, no, I understand that.
She also converted that questionnaire into a Word doc.
So you can actually make changes on the document and send it back to me.
Okay. All right. So... So we'll go ahead and do that. But I think this is a good discussion to have. And I think Joseph is here as the chairperson of the Land Use Planning Committee. So you're hearing what we have to say, too. So let's go ahead and pick up where we left off then. I think we got most, I think we were talking about number four, what efforts do you believe are most important to the economy? We're, you know, it seems to be a decent section to ask. Our concern had to do with some of the language as well as maybe the wording of that particular question, you know, because what's most important to the economy of Kiri Beach, it seems to me that it could be worded a little bit better. Let's look at number five. What do you consider to be the most important transportation issues for Curie Beach? Congestion of roadways? I mean, first of all, is that question, do you think, an appropriate or a good question for this?
We can't control them.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do
here. I would tend to agree. And
so do we want to just recommend that that question be removed?
I would suggest that there's other questions that we've talked about that could be added that are probably better questions than that one right there. Like, what are we doing well and some of those things.
What is relevant here, parking, bikes, pedestrians, is covered in some of the earlier questions.
Right. So
there's no land to widen or add additional roads. There's no ability to control the number of cars that are in the town limits. We have an entryway at the south end, and we have an entryway at the north end that are, neither of them are controlled by us.
Right. Yeah, it raises an interesting issue. When I was in California, by law, the general plan, it's called the general plan out in California, must have a transportation component to it. Does the land use plan in North Carolina have a transportation component?
No.
It doesn't. So I agree. I mean, why bother to have this when there's other questions more relevant, I think. All right, number six. What do you consider to be the most important issues related to the environment and natural resources of Curie Beach? In general, I kind of like the question, but do we have an environment? Again, California has an environmental. There's five areas in California. One is also the environment. Do we have to address environmental issues in our land use plan?
Might not hurt, though. I mean,
I think we do stormwater for sure.
Well, it's also a CAMA plan, and CAMA has the areas of environmental concern. So
you're right.
I'm sure Kyle will treat it, provide something in the proposed plan.
Okay, so, you know, the question itself is appropriate to have.
Yeah.
And beach erosion is controlled by federal contracts that everybody has in the whole East Coast, basically.
I mean, I think beach erosion is a no-brainer. You're not going to let the beach go, and you don't have much control over Mother Nature, but it's going to get replenished.
And I'm not sure about land and wildlife conservation, because Curie Beach is all just about built out. The wildlife is on the federal property, right? So we wouldn't have control over that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. Yeah.
Unless we start bow hunting.
I think the coyotes have taken care of the big deer population, from what I can tell.
Well, taking care of the cat population.
Yeah, and the fox population. I haven't seen a fox in years now.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. We're still talking about wildlife, so. All right, number seven. What do you consider to be the most important in creating recreation? You know, I think that's asking the question about recreation is good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, again, I think they've combined issues. You know, pedestrian and cycling are two completely different issues. Park activities, let's see, outdoor and or seasonal events, those are two different issues.
Think about the two parking questions.
Yeah, that's not a recreational thing.
Well, it draws you to a recreational area, I guess, but...
But, you know, more specifically, create more public parking at parks. I mean, because, yeah, people will think about, well... You know, eating, and that's not a recreational. So, you know, I think the topic is a good topic, but again, maybe some of the questions could be cleaned up a little bit.
And eating.
Well, I think, you know, sidewalks and definitely bike paths or greenways or cycling areas are always going to come up.
I agree, but, you know, but again, maybe the rewording of, because pedestrian would be a sidewalk issues. Cycling, I mean, obviously we're talking about a cycling greenway or pathway right here. But the topic number seven, I think, does address an appropriate issue in terms of recreation. So, Number eight.
I agree.
Okay. Number eight, which statement best describes your relationship? Well, that's pretty straightforward. Is there anything else that could be added? Is this going out to just residents? Is that the idea? Is that this is going to be residents, or is this going to be available online where anybody, let's say an Airbnb person could pop on here and fill this out? I guess they could. Yeah, maybe we should have a category there that would be a temporary renter or something like that. What's your favorite thing about Kiri Beach? Those are open-ended questions. Please provide any comments you may have, open-ended questions. So,
I would add what's your least favorite thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Do you feel the need to add a golf cart question?
I hadn't even thought about golf carts.
They're not allowed on the bike trails.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the commissioners here had a very good idea. Rather than trying to fine-tune this at our meeting right here, is that we've talked about it. I think it's raised a lot of interesting issues. Joseph has heard our comments. He nods some of the time, shakes his head the other direction some of the time, so that's fine. And then what we're going to do is we're going to think about this and then go ahead and send directly to, what, Joseph?
Mandy.
To Mandy, okay. Mandy, our recommendations. Again, she was kind to put this into a Word document so we can actually cross out and change it and so forth, so with recommendations. So if that's okay, I think that's...
Sooner rather than later. Probably, I mean, I would like to have them within a week if possible, because our meeting is coming up, and I've got to get these to Wes as well.
Right. And again, I would recommend that everybody looks at the other LUP as well as the Sawyer survey, because I think some of the questions were good on that one too. And it's always good if we're going to do a set of questions that they somehow maybe link to what we asked 12 years ago, and then we can see if there's been progress in these type of areas too. So, okay, the other new business which Mr. Dugan raised the issue is I have always avoided becoming a member of the board of my HOA, because I think there might be a conflict between being on P&Z and being on an HOA board. I just want to kind of raise that as a just maybe a quick point of discussion right now as to whether that's something maybe we want to put in the future, that if you're a P&Z member or recommend a town council, that you really shouldn't be a member of an HOA board because of maybe some conflict of interest. That's been my own personal decision. I know we've had members that are HOA board members too. And I just wanted to kind of raise that issue a little bit, because HOAs are quasi-governmental activities, and the town council has been pretty specific about, you know, that P&Z is kind of a special, and it is a special type of commission that really shouldn't serve on other committees and commissions except maybe the Historic Preservation Commission. And, you know, you might want to think about, we don't have to make any decisions tonight about whether we would recommend... Well, maybe not serving on an HOA if you're a P&Z member.
I can see where if your HOA had a stormwater retention pond or something like that, that you could end up being on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of that question.
Yeah, I think there is a potential for conflict, but
I think you need to consider a few things. If you're going to recommend policy, that's one thing. Legal doesn't really have much of a voice in that. But you do have in various places rules of procedure, perhaps in statute. I think there's an ethics requirement, at least for the governing board. The conflict of interest, two things to keep in mind. It's easy to find a definition for conflict of interest. A lot of times, however, the issue arises over appearance, and that's a much fuzzier, grayer area. The third thing to keep in mind is there are plenty of procedural methods. For example, the person with the apparent conflict can recuse himself, and the board excuses him from participating in that matter, and these can be addressed in the rules of procedure, or if the person with the apparent conflict doesn't do anything, a member of the board can make a motion and proceed that way. So you've got definitions. It's really weedy when you're talking, when it doesn't rise to more than an appearance. If it's a clear fiscal monetary benefit to the member, his associates, his business associates, or his family, that's a no-brainer. If it's appearance, that's much more difficult to work with. There are procedures, they may be in the rules of procedure. If they're not, we can certainly put them in for each board. How to deal with the conflict, whether it's an appearance or a black and white matter. So keep those things in mind if you really get to the position that you're going to recommend policy to the governing board.
All right. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to raise the issue since it was...
Something to think about.
Yeah, so something to think about. Certainly no discussion or decision tonight. Is there any member discussion points? Anything that we need to be looking at in the future? Or is it... Okay. Tony, you haven't made any motions yet. Would you like to make a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I would.
Second.
All right.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, motion made, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Great.
Well, you survived, Craig. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.